The title of this session is Receiving God's Gifts. The goal of the session, I was given an outline, thank God. And the goal of the session, and I'm a very goal-oriented person, is to help people embrace a life of conversion and to offer a greater appreciation of the life in the Spirit. So that's my goal for us all here. We've heard a lot already about how God loves us. And I know we believe that. And we've heard a great deal about loving Jesus. And sometimes I would hear the term fall in love with Jesus. And I've been divorced twice. That's a lot of unlove. That's a lot of rejection and failure. So there was a point where I wasn't sure what love was, and was I even capable of love? I do believe that God loved me. I've always believed that. But how could I fall in love with Jesus? I wasn't even good at falling in love with human people. Well, one thing I did was I prayed. Lord, teach me to love. Teach me what that means. I prayed to Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, whose vocation was to love. Thérèse, my namesake, please teach me to love. What's that mean? What does that really mean? Am I lovable? And I want you all to ask yourselves these same questions. Am I lovable? Do I know how to love? Do I know how to give love? Do I know how to receive love? So that's how I approached Jesus when I came to the point where I started really asking those questions. Do you know the word believe comes from the German word belieben, which means to fall in love? So just the first step that we've all taken to believe in God, and if we believe in God, we believe in Jesus, because Jesus is the face of the living God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is God. And that's something also that took me years of maturing to really wrap my arms around that. So we believe in God. I believe in one God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus, according to the Word. So in this life of faith that we're called to, in this life of belief that we're called to, and we're all here. So wherever you're at, if you're sitting there far, you know, wherever we're at in our faith walk, we are in love and falling in love with Jesus if we believe in him. Now, is it enough to just say that? No. I can't just say that I'm in love with this guy. I've got to do something. And I have found scripture, really, really studying it. And I really started studying scripture about maybe 28 years ago. Okay? Joined a prayer group. Okay? Learned a lot about scripture from non-Catholic Christians. In fact, that's where I really started to take my first steps. Now I'm more involved with Catholic Christians, just because I have a wonderful community. So scripture, If you want to take the next step, this is in my outline, which I'm... it said, this is a how-to session. So I'm going to try to be practical here. The life of the Spirit, we've got to fall in love with Jesus. We're already doing it because we believe in him. Believe in. We are falling in love with the Lord. We've got to get to know him better. And I don't care if you can recite backwards and forwards every word of Scripture. There's always more to learn. So we got to keep learning. And if you're in a church where that's not happening, find another church. Find it. Find a Bible study. If there's not a Catholic one, find a whatever, Lutheran one or whatever's out there. You know, we've got to go after this. If you went to a divorce counselor because your marriage is falling apart, they would give you steps, concrete things to do. Some of them are easy and some of them are hard. Sometimes it's hard to find a different church. Sometimes it's hard to change groups. But your soul depends on it. That's a fact. So we're falling in love with Jesus. And we've got to believe what he says. We've got to believe what Scripture tells us. And if we can believe it, or if we can cling to it, we will. One of my favorite psalms, and Marianne, I think, referred to it, Psalm 103. You referred to the end of it. I like the very beginning of it. Bless the Lord, my soul. Bless the Lord, all that was in me. Bless his holy name. Because he forgives all my sins. He heals all my wounds. He redeems my life from the pit. We all have our own pits. Your pit may be different than my pit. And the pit changes from time to time. But we all know the pit. He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me with love and compassion. He, the Lord, in the Old Testament, Yahweh. Jesus is the face of Yahweh. So Jesus heals all our wounds. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. He forgives all our sins. And he crowns us with love and compassion. What's not to love about the guy, right? We've got to... Well, how will we know this if we don't read the Scripture? So you've got to just make yourself find the place, find the people, find the priest. You're all blessed with Father Becquet. Whoa, you know, you're already halfway there as far as finding someone who can teach you. And those of you who aren't, find it. Find the person and pray. Pray to be led. Say, Lord, my church, I love my church. I've been around, but it's just... There's something missing. I need more. Lead me. I am the handmaid of the Lord. To be a handmaid, you're more than a servant. Handmaids fall in love with their master. So being a handmaid, this is part of falling in love. Okay, and being willing to deny yourself, because that's what a handmaid did. That's what Mary did. She denied herself to take that direction that was being asked of her. So she died to herself, and she's died to herself every step of the way. And that's what we have to do if we want to use her as our model and be a handmaid of the Lord. But it's the next line of that verse that really speaks to me. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. What does that mean? We all say we want to love Jesus. We all want to be holy. We all want to go to heaven. We all want those things. And we're told that the Holy Spirit will work through us, work within us. Let it be unto me. She didn't say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? She didn't say that. She said, "Whatever you're going to do to me is okay. Let it be done unto me." She was being passive, and she was letting God do whatever he needed to do. She had no idea. She didn't know she was going to have to leave town and have a baby in a stable. She didn't know she was going to live life on the road. She didn't know she was going to take her infant to the temple and this holy man was going to look at her and say, "Whoa, he's going to have a hard life. And by the way, you're really going to have a hard life too." All she said was, "Okay, be it done unto me according to thy word, according to what you want." That's what we have to do. We can't just be active and fill our lives with activities for the Lord and say, "Well, I know what I have to do now." We have to say, "Okay, Lord, you can do it." But then the next question is, and this is hard, what is it within me that's blocking that? Now, Mary didn't have to ask that question, because as we're told, and as I can just simply believe, Mary probably didn't have a whole lot of sin to to overcome. Now, when I use the word sin, I'm using sin in a non-judgmental way. I'm using sin with the capital S. We could say brokenness. We could say darkness. I'm using the word in a non-condemnational way. Okay? So, in this life that we're called to, life of conversion, we ask ourselves, if we want to be honest with ourselves, after we get through that burst of activity and, you know, serving on that committee and praying this and doing that, we have to ask ourselves, well, wait a minute. Maybe it's not just all these things that I think I need to do. What does the Lord want from me? And then the really tough one, what is it in me that I have to let go of? What is it in me that I have to change? And the word here that we don't like is repentance. It's not a popular word today. You don't hear it much. But that's what it is. We have to repent. And again, repentance, what Jesus is asking of us, he's not condemning us and saying, "You are bad, and so you have to grovel on your knees." He's saying, "I have so much to give you. I have such great plans for you. I have a spirit that I want to fill you with. But you've got to let me do it. You have got to let me do it." If we can look at ourselves honestly and say, "No, I don't want you to do that to me." Because that's what we're saying. In our pride, in our ignorance, in our fear, in our pain, that's what we're saying. We're saying, "No, I've got this thing all figured out, and I'll just work my butt off for the rest of my life. And I'll get through." Isn't that what we say? "We'll just keep trying harder and harder. God will help me." That's not what Jesus has in mind for us. Now, that's not bad. That's not bad. But that's not what he has in mind for us when you read Scripture and he says, "I've come to give you life, life to the fullest." He's not talking about only life after death. He's talking about now. Now, he's not talking about a beautiful house and a nice car necessarily and all everything rosy. He's talking about fullness of life in our spirit. He's talking about living the life that he has in mind for us. Okay? That's what we're here today talking about. And that's what we all are striving for. But it hurts. It hurts like having a tooth that's killing you pulled. It hurts like having a baby. It hurts like having a corn cut out. Once it's done, you feel so much better. Right? I had a corn once. I was young. I was only a college girl, but I wanted those shoes very badly. You know, and those shoes were like about this wide, and my foot is not that wide. This is my foot. Okay? Thank God we've come to this style. So I'm wearing these cool shoes, and I'm looking real cool. Well, by the end of, you know, whenever I was crippled. Crippled. And here I am, a 21-year-old girl in a podiatrist's office. Talk about humility. And he said to me, oh my, I haven't seen a corn like this in a long time. And I was saying, now this is going to really hurt. I said, Don, do it to me. Cut it out. The pain was sweet. It was painful, but it felt good because it was coming out. That is what Jesus wants to do. But you gotta go to the office. You gotta go to the podiatrist's office. You gotta be humble and say, I did this to myself out of pride. I wanted those shoes. I knew it was wrong for my foot. I pay the price. Here I am. Grovel, grovel, grovel. Cut it out. That's what he wants here. And that's what we need to do. That is repentance. That is the New Testament repentance. That's the kind of repentance Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about, oh, I am bad. We know that. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about, oh, I broke the law and now I have to pay the price. He's not talking about that. So one thing I want to ask all of us, challenge all of us, to do today, to begin today, to prepare for the Mass tonight, is to ask yourself that question. What has to be cut out of me? Now, it's not going to be like that. And it's not going to be like you're going to think of it, it's going to happen, you're going to run up to the altar tonight, praise the Lord, it's over. This is a process. Maybe you've all been asking yourself these questions. This is just my meditation. Okay? We're all in that process. And once one thing's cut out, there'll be something else. So don't worry. You won't run out. You won't run out of things. A life of conversion is a bittersweet life because we have to confront, we have to give up, we have to change. But the sweetness is there. And each time we have something changed, each time we have something converted, shall we say, we're lighter and lighter. And it is possible. Have you found yourself, the church, we have a wonderful thing called the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Do you find yourself going to confession every time with the same story? The same thing. I mean, you might as well just record it and take it in and play it to the priest. Can you imagine the poor priests? You know, you wonder when they get crazy. Right? You know, the same thing. That's bondage. That's bondage. That's not what Jesus wants for us. Now, it's good that we feel bad. You know, it's good that we feel repentant. It's good that we feel convicted. Those are good things. It's good that we want to be reconciled. But there's something wrong if it's the same thing over and over again with no progress. The life in the Spirit is more than becoming aware of our sinfulness. The life in the Spirit is knowing that because Jesus Christ died for us, that that power of sin has been broken. Now, you know, so much of my life, I said, Jesus Christ died for me to give me life. So I thought that meant he died so that I would have eternal life. Punto. That's true. I will have eternal life. But that's just one thing. That's just part of it. He died. He conquered death. Now, what is death? Death is more than just taking your last breath, your heart is stopped, they unplug the machine, you're dead. That's the death. That's just part. Death is it's separation from God. Death is part of it, is this body is decaying. Nature is decaying. That's part. But that's all part of separation from God. Jesus overcame all of that, not just the final breath, but our separation from God. Remember, Jesus, you've seen the picture, you know, the cross over the chasm, and we can walk across the valley of death from one side to the other on the cross of Christ, all those images. Through the cross, through Jesus Christ, the bondage, the power of sin, separation from God, has been broken. Now, that's more than words on paper. Ask Father Becquet, teach you, if this is new, a new concept, he'll show you the scripture after scripture. We're studying in our Bible study Romans, the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. This is Romans. This is what Paul's talking about, but it's in many other places. So each one of us, instead of, I've got this anger problem. I'm always angry. I'm angry at my children. I have a temper, I have a violent temper, and I blow up, and each time I know I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I apologize to my children. I apologize to my husband. I go to confession next month. Father, I've got this anger problem. You may have the anger problem, but the anger problem does not have you. Now, you say, oh, maybe I'm married. Let's get real here. I am not saying that the anger goes away. There's a thing called structures of sin and sinful patterns. We all have sinful patterns. Okay. Sinful patterns are very hard to break. This is where we need prayer. This is where we need brotherhood, sisterhood. This is where we need the Eucharist. I am not saying, sisters, that this is easy. I am saying it is possible. And I am saying it's real. Okay? So let's say you have this anger problem. The blood of Jesus has conquered the sin of anger. Anger does not have to control you. Let's say you have the problem of overeating. You can name it. You can name them all. If you're confessing that sin, if you're struggling with that sin and not making progress, it's not because it's not possible. This is where you got to pray. This is where you have to do something because you're in love and you've got this relationship. And this is part of the relationship. But just like a marriage, you've got to work at it. So you've got to ask Jesus to help you and lead you to scripture verses, to people, and but most of all, to the belief that it's possible. This is what Jesus did for us. This is the good news. I used to think the good news was being Catholic. What's the good news? I'm Catholic. That's not the good news. The good news is what Jesus did for us, dying. What God did for us. I had a person at St. John's many years ago. She was Hindu, former Hindu, lovely woman from India, converted to Catholicism because she was converted by Mother Teresa. She knew Mother Teresa's activity in India. She was touched, blah, 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 blah. She became Catholic. And she said to me in a group, she said, "Mary, becoming Catholic was very difficult because my whole family, you know, I had to leave my culture, my family, and everything. I'm Catholic now." But she said, "The Hindu religion is a beautiful religion." She said, "It's beautiful. We have many beautiful gods and goddesses, beautiful things." But she said, "Not one of our gods ever suffered for us." And she, and you know, I'm not a Hindu, so I never really even, I take it for granted, right? You take, don't you take it for granted that God suffered for you? Just think about that. We just, it's like, oh yeah, God suffered for us. Right? God came down, he became one of us, and he got himself crucified. Amen. Think about it. And she thought about it because to her, this was news. She said, not one of our gods ever suffered for us. So, Jesus suffered for us, and he broke the bonds of sin. Now, this is not something that has been fully realized yet. Eventually, in God's time, this will be fully realized, and all tears will be wiped away, and all will be made perfect. Everything holds together in Jesus Christ. Until that time, we must live in this imperfect world, but we're not bound by it. Okay? Now, sisters, this is not easy, but it's real. You got to take it and get it into your head. Ask the Holy Spirit to pierce your minds. Ask for understanding. Sometimes we sit there and say, "Well, I don't understand." Did you ever ask for understanding? Did you ever get down on your knees and say, "Holy Spirit, please enlighten my mind. This is too much. This is just too much for me." Have we prayed like that? I have only begun to pray like that. I didn't even know you're supposed to pray like that. I didn't even know I was supposed to ask the Holy Spirit to pierce my mind, to open my mind. What do you mean? And he wants us to understand. Not in the way, like Irene said, if we ever understood God, God wouldn't exist. Not in a prideful understanding. Not in an understanding where we want to put God in a little box and put him in our own image. I mean an understanding where we understand the power. We feel him moving through us. That's what I mean. But we've got to work at it. We've got to do something. We can't just sit there and cry about it and say, "Oh, my church stinks. My priest is this." No. We've got to take hold. We're going to save this marriage. One good thing about this marriage is your spouse wants to save it. Okay? You're on the other side of the table. He is 110% for you. As I said, I've been married and divorced twice. I lived most of my life in a very constrained emotional place. Very tight, very small, very dark. I can truly say I have never turned my back on God. I've lived in sin, not even realizing I was being, I'm not saying this is an excuse, but you know the scales on the eyes. I've always been a Catholic. I don't know, I'm sure I missed Mass back there in college, and I went to Catholic University of America. At a time when the priests were, you know, throwing off their habits and, you know, the nuns were running around. It was, what, in the 60s, 70s, you know. So it was not a great time, you know, as far as orthodoxy goes. When I watch EWTN and they show the masses at the National Cathedral, you know, in D.C., the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception, and there's the big altar with that big mosaic, you know, with the Jesus on the wall. No matter what's going on the altar, all I can remember is running around that altar in a, I wouldn't even tell you what I was wearing, with my boyfriend at the time, just acting like silly kids on the, I mean, that used to be our playground, okay? It was crazy. It was a crazy time, crazy time. So anyway, it was just a struggle. Lots of struggle, emotional struggle. But slowly, the Lord led me out. I had to come to a pretty low point, though. Pretty low point. Some of us don't have to get that low. Some people, you know, can. But I had to get pretty low. And eventually, especially after my second marriage ended, which was only a few years ago, I was led. I could embrace, because the Lord was always leading me. But in my unhappiness, in my constrained little emotional box, and my circular thinking that there's no way out, blah, 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 you know. So many of the gifts that the Lord was sending me could not be fully received. That's a good way to put it. Okay. Finally, when I got out of that spot, I could be more open. And so much of what I've been saying to you has become real. This life in the spirit concept, for instance, I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit probably 25 years ago. I was baptized as a child, as I'm assuming everyone in this room has been baptized. Maybe not as a child, but has been baptized. So I'm assuming we've all been baptized. So at that time, we're not able to obviously understand what's happening. But part of that baptism is the Holy Spirit now is indwelling within us. Then I received confirmation as a youngster. And my confirmation was probably pretty typical confirmation as a Catholic kid in the 50s. It was a great time, you know, when we had. But that's another opportunity for certainly people who were baptized as babies to start to understand what this Holy Spirit is and what these gifts are and what the empowerment is. But again, as Catholics, many of us were confirmed as children. If there's anyone in the room who has not been confirmed, I implore you to investigate it. Consider it. Take advantage of it, especially now, at this point in your lives. Because I know many Catholics didn't get confirmed. If you're a certain age, a lot of people just sort of slipped through that loophole. So it's never too late. But now we have another opportunity, baptism in the Spirit, to more fully understand and more fully participate in the activity of the Holy Spirit in our life. And I think over the last few years, that's something that has become more real to me. I have been in a state of conversion since I was born. We all have. That's what life is. And we have our ups and we have our downs. So I had an experience most recently, and I know that my experience is something that I think was meant as a teaching moment for me right now. It just brought together so many of the things that I'm studying in Romans and that I'm was meditating on for our talk. I had my first husband, always been on cordial terms. We came together about 2 weeks ago for a conversation. Now, this is something that we had not done for many, 28 years, because we didn't have to. There was no reason to, okay? But we were together for dinner, and we were having a conversation. In the course of the conversation, some topics came up that were painful topics to me. Important topics. Topics that needed resolution. In the course of the conversation, which was a long conversation, very nice conversation over dinner, I could feel myself getting sucked back 29 years. Getting in that little room again. In that zing, zing, zing feeling of, okay, here it is again, here it is again, here it is again, like a broken record. By the end of the conversation, no fighting or anything, just, it's a pattern. It's a pattern of sin. Now remember, girls, I'm using sin, a pattern of brokenness. We were not doing any sin in the restaurant, on the table, or anything. If you were watching us, you would not be saying, oh, look, they're sinning. We're talking here about a pattern of brokenness, okay? I felt that pattern. I felt that pattern. But something happened. And by God, I know what it was. I realized I have a choice. Do I submit to this pattern of sinfulness, this brokenness, this feeling of helplessness, this feeling of unlovability, this feeling of failure, this feeling of rah, 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 or do I say no? I say no. I said, Bob, I said, thank you, Jesus. I did. I said, thank you, Jesus, for what just happened. I said, thank you, Jesus, for these feelings I'm having right now. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity for me to say, no way, I am free from this. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean that these things don't exist. It doesn't mean that it's not like I'm in another world. It's not like I don't know what reality is. It means that I can say, That is the power of the cross. That's not me reading 15 how-to books. That's not me on Prozac. I've been there. It's not funny. We all have our pits. But now we all have a choice. We always have. We just didn't know it. Right? We have a choice. We all have a choice. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. But it's there. And that one event has brought a reality to me where I was ready to jump back into that pit and be there. But I'm not. And that's it. So much of that is because I'm working at this. I'm going to the Bible study. I'm praying. I'm listening to Francis Martin. I'm studying. I'm doing all the things the marriage counselor's telling me to do. I'm trusting. I'm on my knees. We've got to do something. I'm here. You're here. We've got to do something. But we've got to do it so that the Lord can work through us. Be it done unto me according to thy word. We've got to be willing to say, oh, well, I'm prideful. I've got so much anger in me. I'm just so pissed off at the church. I am so angry at my father. I watched him beat my mother. I'm so disappointed in my children, I can't tell you. Bring it to the Lord. And that is what you can do tonight. Because according to this outline, part of my job is to talk about that, right? To prepare you for this evening. That's what tonight's all about. It's just a step. Maybe some of you have been baptized in the Spirit 15 times. Maybe this is the first for you. Maybe I'm saying things to you that you're saying, oh, can't you talk about something different? I've heard this so many times. Maybe you've never heard it. I don't know. What I do know is, whoever you are, wherever you are, you can come to the Lord tonight in a way that is a little different, maybe, than you've ever done. It's not anything that's meant to be intimidating, and there's no right answer. That's the best part. There's no right answer. It's more of a posture. You are taking a posture. You're saying, do it to me, Lord. That's what we're saying here. And we're trusting that whatever it is will be his will. No expectations. You're not expected to do anything. You're not expected to fall down. You're not expected to levitate. You're not expected to start running around. No, don't do that to yourselves, because no one's going to do it to you. No one's expecting anything. Is that my cue? I'm over time. When they start turning the lights out, then they know. So that's the message here. We've heard about God's love. We've heard about conversion. We've heard about repentance. We've got to repent. We've got to be willing to change. We've got to be willing to look within ourselves. And the gifts, it's all gift. It's all good. You know, we can read a list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That just is the tip of the iceberg. You know? So don't put yourself on, oh, I'm going to get the wisdom, I'm going to get the gift of this. It's just a gift to be here. It's all gift. And when I looked at that situation that I was just referring to the other night, when that conversation, and I had that choice to say, oh my God, here I am again, or thank you, Jesus. As soon as I said, thank you, Jesus, this is a gift, I felt this big. Not better. I don't mean confrontation. Nothing to do with Dan. This was my own spiritual. That door was open. That little room busted right through that wall. We've all got our rooms. We've all got our pits, but you can bust out. Amen, sisters. Amen.